Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio with your host, Pastor Cheryl Faxon. Thank you so much for joining me today for Favor Life, the process of there, where we walk by faith and not by sight to the destiny, call, and purpose of God. This place where God allows us to pursue His divine will, pursue His divine purpose for us, pursue His divine word and life and truth. And as we do, we grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We are changed line upon line, precept upon precept, glory to glory, height to height, depth to depth. We become more and more like Him, and we become so much passionate about the will of God that we're no longer trying to save our life or keep our lives or avoid certain things, but we're saying, God, whatever you want for your glory, whatever you want so that your will can be done, that's what we want to do. And when we do this, our light and our life becomes such a glory in the earth to the Lord that other people see it, they know it, they recognize it. They're able to follow our leadership, follow our lifestyle, see the impact of the word and the truth of God on our lives, and they are able to live thereby. We're able to cause many people to be encouraged, cause many people to be strengthened. We're able to draw people to the Lord. We're able to be life to someone else, and that's how we become the disciples of Jesus Christ, even in a greater dimension, because we are no longer living for ourselves. We're living for the glory of God and what the word of God tells us and how He tells us, and so therefore, when we do this, we're that salt. We're that city that sits on a hill. We're that person, that individual at the job, in the grocery store, in our community, in the church, in our family, that other people can see God, God's love and His truth. And that is a demonstration of how we've been changed, how we've been saved, and how we're really, really living for His pleasure and not ours. We've been studying An Unlikely Place of Blessing, and this continual study is a place where we see the demonstration of God's power. And this unlikely place of blessing is not a bad place, but it's a place that God can show His strength and show and prove Himself to us and even show how great He is, because He takes an unlikely place, an unlikely situation in our lives, and He turns it around, makes a way out of no way, opens up a door no one can open, causes favor to happen, and delivers us, saves us, rescues us, and shows us that He can bless us no matter where we are. We're still continuing to study in this part of our study. We're dealing with David and leadership. Now, David was chosen by God to be His king, His man, but yet in the process of him being anointed to be God's man, he goes through a process of being made even the greater to be God's king for the people. So we're going back and we're looking again at David's life, and we're seeing how God uses David in a miraculous way to be the king of his choice and to be the king of the people, but also to save them and to show them and demonstrate to them something that they had not seen before in a king, because David was the first king to display the heart of a worshiper, the heart that panted after God and loved God and searched for God and danced before God, but also lived righteously. He wasn't perfect, but he lived in such a way that the lineage of who he is, Jesus, is coming through there. And so we see that even in that, that God was preparing David for something more than what he could understand himself. But because God knows all things and he's in control, he knows how to maneuver us to get us where we need to get. We're going to go and continue on this study today, and we're going to look further. And we're going to see that, you know, no matter where you find yourself or what's going on, God is your source and your supply, and he knows how to get you what you need, when you need it, how you need it, and the way that you need it. Now, we see that David and his men basically, Saul basically learns about where David is. He's hiding, and David's men, and they are in a place where they're at the threshing floor. And the Philistines basically have come in to this place where David and his men are, and the threshing floor was used to in harvest time. And the threshing floor was basically where they stored their grain. The Israelites hid it from the Philistines because they always came to steal what they had harvested. And so we understand that there are enemies that will come and try to steal what you've harvested in the natural and in the spirit realm, but we know that God is not going to allow a thief to steal from us, because the Bible lets us know that whenever we see, recognize that thief, we catch that thief, he's got to give us back more than what he stole. So we have some thieves that have stolen from us time, energy, family time, relationships that were godly, things that belong to us. And when we catch that thief, even money, then we are to command and demand, according to the word of God, that they give back double. And you can even ask God, give me back even the time in waiting and the time that I went through something. I want that increase back. I want that restoration back as well. So whatever the thief has come in and stolen from you, you can command and demand that they give it back, and even put interest on other items which you're waiting in your process of them coming in and stealing what was not theirs. Now David and his men go and they inquire of the Lord, because the people, they are basically seeking after David for help, not the king, but David. And so because they were tired of Saul's leadership, they were tired of how he was leading, so they seek after David, seek him out, and David inquires of the Lord, should I go after them? Should I do this? And the Lord says, yes. Well, Saul learns that David was there, and he believed that God was going to deliver David into his hand. So he mobilized his entire army. This man mobilizes his entire army for one man. He goes after him with everything that he can to destroy him. And it will feel and seem and even look like there will be people that will come after you on your job, in your neighborhood, in the church sometimes, even in different situations, because you're doing the will of God and because you've been anointed. And all you're doing is doing what God says. But because they see you as a threat, because they see you as someone that's going to change what they know or change the order of something, or God is going to use greater than them, they cannot handle that, and they will mobilize people with their mouth, with their actions, with their deeds, to begin to go and attack you. But you don't retaliate in the same fashion. You understand that your weapon is not carnal methods or carnal words. Your methods is going to be in prayer, praying first of all that God will open up their eyes, praying that God will touch them and show them the error of their ways and show them that they need to repent and show them the truth, and that they might walk in the truth, because the word lets us know that the truth not only makes us free, it sets us free. So we want that truth to make and set them free from every deceit, every bondage, every insecurity, every jealousy, whatever it is that's going on. We want the truth of God to find them and for them to make the choice of doing it God's way and repenting and turning. So David's mindset was always that God will allow Saul to change, to turn, that he would not touch him in a way that was unpleasing to God, because he already knew that he was God's anointed. He had been anointed to be the king. He had been anointed to be put in a place of power. So he was, and he was anointed to do something in God's righteous army. So he understood that God, in all of this, that he had been anointed to do something and placed in a position of power, and that he did not have the right to put his hands on him and to go after him, regardless of how he treated him. And so we have to understand that we can't just go after people and touch people any kind of way, words, actions, deeds, mindsets. We can't do that, because they are God's people, and God will deal with them. He knows how to deal with them in a way that we don't. But if we put our hands in them, then fleshly methods and fleshly works will get involved, and you will have a bigger problem. But if you let God deal with it, you pray about it, and you ask for wisdom on how to handle it, God will walk you through and let you get through it the way that's glorifying to him, that people will be able to see your life and follow that example, and not where there's chaos and confusion and division and splits and all kinds of things that makes it look as if our God does not have the power to bring peace or bring things under order. So Saul hears about where David is, he learns about where he's at, and he goes to where David is to try to pursue him. But in the midst of all of this, David and Jonathan meet up. There's a covenant that is made, and Jonathan basically tells David not to be afraid because of his father, not to fear. And Jonathan is the covenant friendship that reminds David of who he is, and the pursuit of everything that's going on, and pushes and encourages him. When you're going through something, God will use someone that is your in real covenant with you, real covenant to help encourage you and push you and to remind you of what God is going to do. And Jonathan believed within all of his heart that he was going to be sitting on David's side, helping him rule when the time came. He felt like he was going to have a place with David in the ruling and the leading of God's people to another level and another dimension. There was a leadership that was shown in displayed in David that Jonathan even knew that his father did not possess, but he wanted to admire and follow and help, and he knew that it was God. And sometimes God will do unlikely things in relationships or family relationships that seem out of order, but God is a God that knows how to choose. David was not chosen in the order of his brother. He was the eighth child, the last child, and he was chosen above his brothers. So, you know, God does not go by the order of the traditions of men. He knows the heart of men, and he knows exactly what he wants to see and what he wants portrayed and how he wants it delivered. So there are certain things that God will use you to do, certain things God will use you in, and you might be wondering why were you chosen? Because God knows your heart, and he knows what he's put in you, and he knows the heart of those around you. He knows who will completely obey him, submit to him, always have a heart of worship, always have a heart of submission and repentance unto him, and those who will not, those who will walk in pride and always take the glory, he knows those too. So he wants someone to get that he can get the glory out of, that they will always choose to do it his way and not their way. Not to say that you're perfect, but it says that you're going to always pant and run after God and God's will. You're going to always make sure God's will is done above your own, and that's the thing that God wants. He wants us to have that holy reverence. So David and his men go to Ziph, and when they go there, the men there betray David, and they go and tell the men of that land, the Ziphites, go and tell Saul that David is there, and they basically say, isn't he hiding in these hills? Isn't he hiding here? Don't you know where he's at? And so Saul and his men go and pursue David. But while they're pursuing him, the Lord is even in the midst of this. He's causing an enemy to kick up so that Saul will be distracted. Sometimes in the midst of the heat of the battle, God will cause someone else's enemies to kick up in their life so that they can get, so that they won't be able to fulfill their plan to destroy you. He'll cause something else in their life to kick up so that they will move and not fulfill what they're trying to do concerning you. That lets you know that God is concerned about everything about you. He'll make your enemies back off by causing trouble or causing a chaos or causing situations in their life by their own enemies so that they won't be able to pursue or follow out through with their plans and their wishes to kill you. That's what happened with David. They told Saul where he was, and so that Saul would have his wishes fulfilled to try to kill David. And David was fleeing in the wilderness, and he narrowly escapes capture by Saul. He writes about Psalm 54, about this event, about what happens in Psalms 54. And so they get to there, and David is hiding. But the thing about it is this. Jeshim means wasteland. This was the place where David was hiding at. He was hiding in a place that was called, and it was a term that described barren, a barren wasteland in Judah. And this was right outside of Ziph. But you have to understand, this is significant because that's where David felt. He felt like he was in a barren place. He felt like he was in a wilderness. He felt like he was in a desert. He felt like he was in a place that could not produce in his life. And there will be times in your battle, in your fight, in your walk, that you will feel that you're in a barren place, that you're in a wilderness, that you're in a wasteland. But you better know that even in that, God is with you, and he won't let the desert animals or the desert situations or the desert barren conditions overtake you or destroy you. Even in that, he's going to beautify that place with his presence, with his peace, with his protection. And that's what happens. David understood this because of his work as a shepherd. Before, this was his advantage. He knew all the geographics of the region, and he knew the hiding places. Everything in your life that you go through, God is going to use, and it's going to teach you and help you how to fight, learn you different things and your fighting mechanism that other people may not have experienced because you went there and God taught you some things. But in the midst of it, Saul, the Philistines attack, Saul has to leave, and God makes a way for his escape. Know that God is going to make a way for your escape. The enemy's not going to destroy you. God is going to make you come out as pure gold. He's going to cause something to happen on your behalf. I'm Pastor Cheryl Faxon, and that's all the time we have today. We'll come back again, and we're going to be going through, and we're going to see how David doesn't touch God's anointing on tomorrow. But know that God is for you, and if he's for you, he's got a plan that's going to give you a great escape. Be blessed.